This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're just about to conclude the Wednesday edition of Power Talk through the Culture Corner, popularizing South Africa's indigenous languages. And we're joined, obviously, by Professor Siyawukele Ngubane, Professor of African Languages at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Prof. Ngubane, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Maria, and your listeners, and thank you for inviting me.
I want to start with this quote, just to set the scene in terms of our discussion, from Professor Patrick Ngulube, who wrote, and I quote, "If language enables human beings to act together, organize themselves into social groups and units, and put into effect group decisions, then its demise signals danger for the society in question." In other words, the demise of a language means the end of a culture. So, Prof, I think the first question I want to ask, and I want a bit of an understanding. If you have researched it, it will be help. If it doesn't, okay, it is okay too. But I'm curious to say, out of all the books in the world, from your medical journals, astronomy books, whatever, the only book that has all official South African languages that I know of is the Bible, the Holy Bible. How did that happen? How did we get that one right? Do you know?
Yes, I think the response to that question is simple, that the gospel was only going to be possible to be spread all over the world if it is translated in the people's languages. That's why when you look into the culture of the introduction of the Bible here in Africa or South Africa, there were scholars who were dedicated to translating the Bible into isiXhosa. Initially, they started with isiXhosa, and they did the Sesotho and also the Nguni language, which is isiZulu and isiSwati. So I think the main aim was to spread the word of God.
And they did an excellent job when coming to that.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So yeah. Now, why was there no concerted effort, for instance? Well, I know I'm just asking these questions because those have been, you know, going through. And when I knew that I was going to talk to you, I said, I'm going to give Prof. Ngubane a tough time in terms of these questions that have been bugging me to say, why then, if we managed to translate a Bible, but we haven't gone to an extent that we translate books of astronomy, medicine, technology, and so on and so forth? Is there any reason? Obviously something that needs to be championed mostly by government or other civil society groups. Why hasn't that happened?
Yeah, I think basically it is the history of the country. You know that the indigenous languages were oppressed and marginalized. So it was political that they didn't put resources towards translating science books, technology, etc., into African languages, because African languages were not even part of the list of official languages in the country, except for English and Afrikaans. So that is the main reason. But at the dawn of democracy, that political error was corrected by compromising that languages that are indigenous to South Africa must also be recognized as official languages. So the language policy post-1994 enabled these languages to be recognized. So I think after 1994, that is when South African government and the democratic structures that are established by government should have started realizing this dream of improving and increasing the growth of indigenous languages. Even in 2012, there was an act which was ruling on the use of official languages, which I think that is a motivation for us to increase growth of African languages in the country. But I think there are no resources. There are government institutions like the Department of Arts and Culture, there is a PENSAL, but they found that the money that is allocated to PENSAL, for instance, I can talk to PENSAL because I've been the chairperson previously for this organization, is that all the money that is allocated goes to payment of salaries, and there is little that is left to develop these languages, and that is the problem. The response to your question is that we need to have more resources, financial resources, towards developing indigenous languages. I'll just cite the example of Afrikaans. Afrikaans, since they were in power, they made it a point that they put money aside to develop Afrikaans. We know that Afrikaans started as a kitchen language. It was called a Kombay style. Mm-hmm. But it has developed more than the indigenous languages themselves, which are over 1,000 years that have been spoken in an oral form, but it has not been developed in a written form. So I think that's where the problem is. Orally, we speak our languages, but there is nothing that is written. So translation enables growth to our languages.
Indeed. And there is this trend that I'm picking it up. I mean, just yesterday I was in conversation with Dr. Kluti from the University of the Free State. But we're talking about systems within the local government, local government sphere. And one of his frustrations was that we don't invest in knowledge. So a lot of money that is being plowed in, it goes mostly to salaries, you know, but knowledge capacity is not built. And a day later, Prof. Ngubane, you're telling me the very same thing, that there's money that is injected into projects of importance, but the big chunk of it goes to salaries. But then we don't get any growth and development. So let's look at what needs to be done going forward. And I'm just saying, if as academics, as people who've got some influence in terms of your research, one of the frustrating issues is that South Africa is an unequal society, and we still have people who are still battling in terms of reading and understanding things. But then it's even worse when things are written in English and Afrikaans. So we have a government 29 years later where important documents like your government gazette, it's in English and Afrikaans. If you're given an opportunity to interact with government, how can we ensure that particularly government documents that has to reach the multitudes of people on the ground are written in the languages that they can read and understand? Is it too much to ask, Prof. Ngubane?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's not too much to ask. I think it is a must that that provision is provided for the society of South Africa. Because as you have put it correctly, so that we are a multilingual society. And some people are illiterate. They can't even read English and Afrikaans. So it is imperative of our government to provide translations. There are offices within Parliament, there's Hansa that is responsible for translation. But I think the problem is that it is not enough. It is not enough. Like you were citing the government gazettes, there are people who are employed to translate, and there is some translation. But I think what is the challenge that I think the government is facing is the multiple languages in the country. Like, if the languages were grouped, which is not desired by these communities because it will be further marginalizing them. But for instance, if we have the Nguni group coming together, like Iswati, isiZulu, isiNdebele, isiXhosa, those four languages, there is a mutual intelligibility among them. So if we can have a translation into Nguni language, and then we have Sotho language, and also we add Sivenda, Sitsonga into the... So it means we'll have to translate into four groups, which will reduce the cost of translation instead of taking Southern Sotho, Setswana, and Isipedi. But those languages, people can understand and people can read. So I think that's the only solution that I think can be employed by government to reduce the cost, because it is expensive to translate into all 11 languages. But if government would invest in that, as you have alluded to, like investing into knowledge production and spreading and disseminating knowledge, more especially the indigenous knowledge, which will revive our languages, because our next generation, they will not even know our history, our culture, and our tradition, because everything now has been written in English, and even the social media has contributed to that effect, because people would want to read English stuff, only English stuff. So I think the basic thing is trying to work on this language attitude. There must be a language attitude change, because there is a low esteem attached to our languages, because it is not the language of power and status. I think once we work on our attitude as African, because that reduces our Africanness. You are seen as powerful and intelligent if you use English because of its hegemony in the country. So I think we cannot blame the government, but we must also blame ourselves, because even the comrades in parliament, they don't use their languages in most instances, although there are interpreters who are paid daily. They feel like when they use indigenous languages, it's a waste of time, because it takes long to say what you want to say. Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
That's my name. My name is Haugele, which means Lord have mercy.
Hey, Prof. Haugele Gubane, the professor of African language at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Yo, yeah. The universe, the different universes are meeting on Power 987, on Power Talk, the Wednesday edition of it, on the Culture Corner. I want us to, I've got some interesting tweets that I want us to discuss very shortly. But before we move there, I want us to talk about South Africa missing opportunities to invest in knowledge. We are people of slogans. And when we hit these slogans into the public space, you will think that post-sloganeering, something massive is going to happen. There was a time where we talk about decolonization of education.
Yeah.
Even this thing was in your space, Prof. Ngubane, in institutions of higher learning, driven by students, talking about decolonization. And there was this sloganeering of indigenous knowledge system. Wow, it was massive how we need to protect and start bringing back indigenous knowledge and all those kind of things. But those were eras that passed with the protests that went on. So my question to the academia. During the period of decolonization, was there any conversations while students were fighting their issues of transformation in terms of decolonizing? As professors, as doctors, as the academia, were there any discussions in terms of advancing this transformation through, you know, promoting and improving African languages in our institutions of higher learning, even at lower institutions, high schools and primaries? Was there such discussion at all?
Yes, I think so. I'm just speaking on behalf of my institution. Yes. We have implemented language bilingualism through the medium of instruction as part of that campaign of decolonization of education. Here at the university, we teach psychology in isiZulu, because our language policy adopted the bilingualism medium of instruction. So we have already embarked on initiatives of decolonization, because some students' academic performance is affected by English, because they can't express themselves in English. They don't understand the questions if they are written in English. So our examination papers are written in both English and isiZulu, and students are allowed to respond in either of the two. If they prefer English, they are welcome to use English. If they want to do isiZulu, they do isiZulu. So we have embarked on that initiative, and we have opened an office in the campus where I am here at Howard College in Durban, which is dedicated to develop indigenous languages. So we are well ahead. We have also developed the temp bank. In fact, we are digitalizing our indigenous languages, more especially isiZulu. You can just get translations through the digital platform. So I think we've done quite a lot, because what I always say is that under these circumstances, we need practical and positive measures towards increasing the use of our languages. It's no point talking about developing them, but we need to have practical measures. Like when we translate the teaching manuals from English. In fact, during apartheid, we used to teach English in English in most of the universities, because we teach social linguistics, we teach linguistics, which is in English. But now we have translated the teaching materials into isiZulu.
Wow.
And students can access the knowledge and information through their language. So I think this is the best practical way that we have embarked on as the, and we are leading as the University of KwaZulu-Natal in that aspect.
Fantastic stuff. Here are some messages and questions from Twitter. Shocks Lusibane is saying, "Hi Murio, the Bible was translated to brainwash natives. Even American slaves were only given the Bible to read." And he went on to say, "Murio, please ask the prof if the other languages of KZN to Nkwavuma can be revived, e.g. then Dwandwe Yeyeza." I'm not sure if you get it. It's new to me. So that's the question there, prof.
Yeah, I've done a research in the northern KwaZulu-Natal, and I come from Ngwavuma district myself, and I've developed three dialects because of the language contact between the neighboring countries. You find that when you go to Ngwavuma, there is a place called Emanyise, and those people will go across to Swaziland and buy groceries and go back home. So they speak isiZulu that has an influence of Siswati. So they developed a dialect of that area. And when you go down to KwaMhlabuyalingana, KwaNgwanase, Manguzi, they have got influence from southern Mozambique. So their Zulu is affected by isiTonga, spoken on the other side of the border. So these languages, I think what he is referring to isiGonde. Isiqhonde is spoken alongside the Indian Ocean by mostly elderly people, which is close to Istonga, which is a dialect of Tsonga, but spoken in the southern Mozambique. So we are trying very hard to advance their language. Although we have only 9 indigenous languages, there are still numerous dialects that need to be developed, because any language is made of dialects. So a language to be fully fleshed must be made out of the dialects of the people speaking those languages. So the language that is spoken in Ngwavuma has got IsiSwati and IsiZulu, but it is almost 88% IsiZulu. So there is no problem with those people who are alongside the borders of South Africa.
Okay, Prof. Ngubane, if you can just listen, I'm going to read a number of messages and then you will wrap it up because we're left with only 4 minutes. Wandile Madalamjali saying, this language issue knocks man at Muro Mriano, as some of our people might not be able to read our very own languages, let alone English. We need to start there. Yes, that's what he's asking the question there, that of course we need to start there. And Shocks Lusibani saying, do the San people have anything written in their language? At least I know on our code of arms, we have that language written there. The code, is it how do I forget that, the language on our code of arms? Yeah, but meaning unity in diversity. Something like that. Yeah, but you'll answer that, Prof. And finally, I think I've got another question from David M. Silica Jr. Saying, can you please ask the good Prof. Hore, what's his opinion on the Concord declaring the traditional and Khoisan kingdom invalid? But before that, let me take Richard quickly in Kempton Park and then you'll wrap everything for us. Richard, Kempton Park, question, comment.
Hello, okay. No, I just want to ask Prof, they're talking about using your mother tongue. Some people are struggling because they're using English. But in the lecture room there in the university, there are other African people there. Tsonga, Pedi, wherever. But so if they say the question paper is in Zulu and English, still, to other people, still it's a disadvantage because some they're not good in English and they're not good in Zulu, especially when it comes to reading and answering.
All right.
So still, that problem is still there.
It's still there. I hear you there, Richard. Yeah. Prof, you've got a minute and a half to wrap all these questions. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. Let me start with the caller that has just spoken now. I think this is an effort. We're trying to say we want to promote indigenous languages. If we put IsiZulu, already all the other Nguni languages who is constituted in the Nguni group is promoted. And next year we are planning to introduce Sesotho. So we are investing in these indigenous languages step by step. We can't just bring all of them at one stage. So that's why we have employed the bilingual medium of instruction. Then we'll move to multilingual as time goes on, but we have made a start. The other question is that we also need to involve children in early age. Like you spoke of primary education, our children must be taught in our languages because they will perform well when they are taught in their mother tongue. And also, when you are taught in mother tongue and you have mastered your mother tongue, that's the only way of adding other foreign languages to your vocabulary or whatever. But we must make a start. And these achievements that I've been talking about in our own institution are a start or an effort, because no one has ever imagined studying psychology and even medicine. Medicine, we have translated documents from English to IsiZulu. So our African students have access to isiZulu. I'm not promoting isiZulu, but isiZulu is the most spoken language in the country, South Africa. We have about 23% first language speakers in South Africa. So if I say sawubona across the board, then it means we are making an effort towards promoting indigenous languages.
Prof, I got to thank you so very much. And there's a caller who requests your email address. I'm going to put you on hold with our producer. Maybe I think there's some, he wants to follow up on some of the questions that he asked.
Not a problem.
Prof Siyawukele Ngubane there, Professor of African Languages at the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.